Hey y'all, it's your girl Savvy Gabby, and you're now listening to the Savvy Behavior Podcast, where together we discover and discuss all things savvy for money, business, and life. Let's get into it. Hey everybody, so this episode is going to be part one of how 100 Days of Focus changed my life. If you've been following this podcast for a while, you know that I started a 100 Days of Focus challenge back last year, and it was a solo thing, and then I opened it up to the public on Facebook eventually when I went in to do my second set of 100 Days of Focus because it was so impactful for me. Last year was a huge year of growth and maturity and just accountability on all levels, just moving up and elevating. And so I wanted to share specifics with you all about what I did, how I did it, and what the results were for my 100 days of focus. So let's get into it. After completing my 100 days of focus twice, I noticed a significant difference in myself, who I was becoming, how my mind worked, and my perspective on things. The biggest thing that I heard from people was the question, what exactly were you doing with your 100 days of focus? Y'all, I was just winging it. So there was no rubric or no instructions on how to actually do this 100 days of focus. I just knew that I needed to quiet the noise, get whole, and get clear on some things because your girl had so many things going on in her life. I had a lot going on. I was trying to do so much, trying to achieve so much, and it was rooted in just feeling like I wasn't enough. Comparing, feeling behind, feeling the pressure of other people's expectations on my life and the potential that they expressed that they saw in me, not wanting to disappoint them. A lot of my actions were because I wanted to do them, but also because I wanted to prove other people right and or wrong, depending on what their perspective was about my life and what I should be doing. So that's a lot, you know, when you're in a situation where you want to be successful. Most of us want to be successful. We have goals, dreams, aspirations. And we want to do well with this life that we're given. We want to make every moment count. A lot of times in this fast-paced hustle culture, we get caught up in the optics of how things look, and we don't take time to pause and just understand who we are, what our life is supposed to be, who we're destined to be. And that is where we screw up a lot of times. So for my 100 days of focus, I didn't really separate it. It kind of was just a continuous stream. I took probably a month or two break between the two 100 days. But overall for me, it was just an entire journey. And it is one that I will continue to share. And now that I've completed it twice, I think it's the best time for us to reflect together on what I did, what I achieved, what my results were. And the biggest thing that I get is how. How did you do it? What were the guidelines? What exactly were you doing? People don't really know where to start. I know that 100 days is overwhelming for a lot of people. And so I didn't have anything really broken down, but I took some time to write it out. So we're going to get through it. Let's see. First things first, let me map out the results, or let me map out the why. So for those who haven't visited episode 16, Baby, Can You Focus? That episode, ironically, was a little all over the place. My goal is to be more succinct and more direct with my talking to you all when I'm doing an episode, making sure that everything that we're talking about pertains to the topic and that I don't digress or go on a tangent like I am known to do, being long-winded. So if you haven't gone back to episode 16, Baby, Can You Focus? I'm just going to restate my why. My why was I needed to reset. I needed to quiet the noise of other people's thoughts and opinions and their views of potential for my life. And then I needed to grow up and I needed to get clarity. I also needed to find out who I am. And I didn't really realize that I needed to find out who I was because I thought I knew who I was when I started on this journey back in February of 2019. I thought I knew who I was, but I had no idea. This 100 Days of Focus challenge really became a mirror for me. And I hope that if you decide to embark on any type of challenge, whether it's 30, 60, 90, 100 days, I hope that you can have a similar experience where your insecurities, your flaws, and your areas of improvement are reflected back to you so that you're aware and you can work on those things to be a better person. So let's talk about it. Those were the whys. The results of my 100 days of focus were that I got clear on my self-worth and who I am. Okay. I was able to release self-sabotaging thoughts. I was able to release emotional crutches. I was able to embrace intentionality. And those all kind of circumference getting clear on self-worth and who I am, being intentional. The biggest thing too was becoming present. I became so much more present in the today than I've ever been. Last year and the years prior, just trying to be in my entrepreneurial flow and just trying to figure things out. I was so deep in just trying to figure things out and control them and having a timeline and setting these audacious goals and these numbers and monthly income and all this stuff that I wanted. It was really rooted in control and just being so focused on the future and what I wanted my future to look like. But I was not present. Understanding that your future is comprised of multiple moments of being in the present. So whatever I do today and did yesterday and the day before that, those are all moments in time that shape what my future will look like. And it's easy to embrace that as a single thought, but to actually put it into an intentional practice of being present in our day and age where everything is projected into the future, you know, it's easier said than done. You know, you can verbalize it and say, wow, that's deep. I embrace that. But actually embracing it on a level of practice is different. So I became more present. And I became way more intentional. And that intentionality allowed me to manifest a job and opportunities within that job to improve my career trajectory. It helped me manifest relationships, both platonic and romantic. And even though those relationships may have been lessons in and of themselves, meaning they may have happened and there was some good to come out of them and they may not be present today, I still was able to embrace the lesson. And that brings me to the next result, which was it improved my perspective. My challenge of 100 days of focus really improved my perspective on everything. I really feel as though my brain has been rewired. I am more, I don't even know what the word is besides intentional and clear and just purposeful. My perspective is more so that of a half full perspective, even when things are going terribly wrong. I used to be kind of all over the place and a little frantic when things that were out of my control would happen. And now I have completely embraced a mindset that everything is as it should be and focus on what you can control, Gabby. And I think that if we embrace that as people, on a daily basis. You know, once again, easier said than done, which is why it takes intentional focus to drive that into your brain to rewire it. But if we were able to embrace that thought of focusing on what we can control, life would be so much easier for us. But oftentimes I recognize that when I'm talking to friends, family, those around me, on the job, etc., when situations are happening that are out of our control, we immediately will start focusing on those things that are good or bad about the situation. And a lot of times we're focused on the things that we can't even control, the variables that are not even in our hands, instead of focusing on what actually is in our control. What we can control is our emotions. We can control our thoughts. We can control how we internalize information. We can control how we respond. We can control what we allow to stress us out. We can control our level of stress. We can control our mood by what we decide to put into our mental space. So oftentimes I've noticed that people don't focus on those things they can control. They focus on what the other person did, on how they were wronged, things that they can't even rectify even if they wanted to, because it's not within their control, right? So my perspective has completely changed. I've rewired my brain. I've improved my circles of friends and the people surrounding me. Some dead energy, some negative energy, some toxic energy, petulant energy has fallen off. I've been able to recognize it. I've gained clarity in the aspect of relationships, gotten so clear, y'all, that my intuition is what drives my decisions, majority of my decisions. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm perfect yet in this regard. I'm still learning. I'm still a student. But my intuition is very much so, in my, you know, connection to God, those two things are very much so what drives my everyday decisions and how I move. And everything is just so much more at peace and at ease. I've curated this level of peace in my life that I'm not willing to compromise for anything or anyone at this point. And bottom line, out of all of this, I have found my happiness. I don't know the last time that I've been this happy. Things are happening around me. Things that are not desirable are happening around me, happening to me in a sense. But my perspective immediately kicks into gear. After I cry about it because it hurts, I'm able to shift into the proper perspective needed to survive. And not only to survive, but to flourish. Because whatever dirt or whatever hard things are coming my way, I know they're number one building character, and they are fertilizing me to grow into an even better human being. And so I found my happiness in the midst of life happening. And that's a beautiful thing. My birthday happened after, it was in the middle of my second set of 100 days of focus, but it was clearly after my first set of 100 days. And my 29th birthday was the happiest birthday that I've had in years. I cannot remember the last time that I was actually happy on my birthday. I used to have a serious case of birthday blues, and this past year was just, it was something that was almost inexplicable. Because nothing tangible had happened. You know, I didn't wake up and somebody had spoiled me with a whole bunch of gifts or anything. I just woke up excited for my future and present in that day, grateful for how far I had come, grateful for all the growth and all the blessings and the things that I had manifested just from focusing that far in the year. Everything was working out for my good. And even the things that weren't good in and of themselves still ended up being benefit for my good, for me to grow. And so bottom line, I found my happiness. So let's go back through all of the results that I have. And this part one is really just going to deal with the mental foundation of what changed for me. during the 100 days of focus, this series, I have a few other aspects of my life that the 100 days changed for me, but I'm not going to focus on those. I'm going to try to break this up. So it's going to be a few parts to this series. Don't know how many just yet. As the information is shared, I'll have more clarity on that. So just continue to tune in and please share these episodes as they come with someone that you feel would benefit. Take notes if you may or must, because these are the things that I want you all to want to really share with you all and drive home. So let's go back through the results. Number one, got clear on self-worth and who I am by releasing self-sabotaging thoughts and emotional crutches and embracing intentionality. Number two, I became more present, self-aware, thoughtful, and intentional. That led to me taking actions, which we're going to talk about soon. Number three, I became more intentional. I became intentional. Number four, became whole. Number five, improved my perspective and rewired my brain. Number six, improved my circles. And then I found happiness ultimately. So those are all the results. So now I'm going to go into the how. How did you do this, Gabby? Okay, all that stuff sounds great, right? But how did you do those things? How? What exactly were the steps? Now, this for me is kind of, I won't say it's a difficult part, but it's challenging because, you know, everybody has their own different thought processes and patterns and things that they're going to have to work through on their own. And one person's limiting beliefs may not be another's. But I'm going to kind of give you the bare basics, the skeleton that anybody can do. So number one, how? Number one, which is non-negotiable for anybody that is looking to change their lives, their perspective, and bring in more positivity and goodness into their lives. Number one, I committed to myself. Mentally and spiritually, I committed. And that hasn't necessarily been a challenge for me. I've always been a person who has been down for the cause to commit to. I'm super loyal. Commitment does not scare me. Some people have commitment issues. Commitment does not scare me. So I didn't have a problem following through because in general, I am just a person who likes to be held accountable. I will hold you accountable. And sometimes accountability makes people uncomfortable. Sometimes it makes myself uncomfortable. But it is what it is. I definitely committed and made it clear that I was committed to the person that I'm destined to be. And if you listen to episode 16, I really go in depth about committing to the person that you're supposed to be and how that is a key to reaching optimal mental wellness and physical wellness and just overall goodness in your life. That is required in order to reach any type of success. You're going to have to commit to the person that you're destined to be. And that's also important for when you're looking for a partner. How committed? What's their level of commitment like to themselves? And are they aware and do they have the vision for who they're supposed to be? I talk about that in episode 16 as well. For me, I have a vision for my life, and I know that much. I have a vision. And at first, before the 100 days of focus, it wasn't super clear. I just knew I wanted to be great and I wanted to impact people, right? Well, I committed. I know that I'm supposed to be someone who impacts the masses. Not really sure how, but I committed to whoever I'm supposed to be because that person I know is just light years ahead when it comes to levels of happiness than where I was at the point before I started the 100 days of focus. I hope that sentence made sense. But yeah, I committed. That was step one. Number two, I prayed more. I became more conscious and more aware. Okay, so when you become more aware, you open up the door and the realm for you to become more intentional. And intentional means that whatever you're doing, when you take an opportunity, when you see something coming your way, you are open to doing well by it, taking care of it to achieve the next goal. So, for example, I got an offer in corporate America where I work now, and I told God that if he blessed me with this position, I was going to be intentional and I was going to be a good steward of this position, meaning that I was going to come in, utilize all the resources that were available at this job, make as many connections, go to the development network meetings, go to Toastmasters, go to the business resource groups for African Americans and minorities, get active, volunteer, do all the things that are there as resources in order to grow my career, make connections, and secure and put myself in proper placement for the next opportunity. So you see what my intention was? My intention was to be a good steward so that I could leverage this career into, or leverage this job into a career, into more income. Those were my intentions, and I was able to do that. So that's what I mean by being intentional, going in with purpose and vision for what you want to do. So I prayed more. I talked to God more. That was kind of synonymous with me journaling. So I started writing things down. I started keeping a journal pretty much every day, but I challenged myself to journal 3 times a week. Because, you know, sometimes in the hustle and bustle, we don't take time to sit down and actually write things out. And, you know, I'd rather type things out. So sometimes I would type them out. Other times I would write them out. And it was especially important for those times where I was not feeling great. Those times where things were not going my way or something happened that just hurt me. It was sort of therapy for me. I would open up and start writing down and typing out how I felt about everything and what my thoughts were, even if my thoughts were kind of embarrassing. You know, maybe it was something I was thinking about myself, you know, thinking that I wasn't good enough or why, you know, this is happening to me. And sometimes I think maybe, for example, an embarrassing thought that I've had that I've written out before is that maybe I'm not worthy of love. Maybe I feel this way, or I discovered that I think I feel as though I am not worthy of the love that I envisioned for myself all this time. And maybe that's an obstacle in me actually receiving it, right? So that really wasn't the easiest thing to write out or to write down or to admit that you think about yourself. But by writing it down, I could then dissect the other thoughts that were attached to that and break it down and then turn around and debunk it so that I could rewire my brain to not internalize this thought any longer. And that really helped. So that was done by journaling, praying more, just even talking to God in the morning, like, God, this is what's going on. This is how I feel. This is what I want. This is what I'm willing to do. How can I move forward? Can you just please provide clarity for me? Can you please provide peace for me? I don't want anything that's going to affect my level of peace, my level of security with you, affect my relationship poorly with you. Can you guide me? And just being way more reverent to God about my life. That is something else that I did. And just asking him to guide me. So the journaling commitment and praying to God, being more conscious and self-aware. The journaling helped me become more self-aware, which led to more thoughtful actions and intentionality. Intentionality breeds actions. And so I was able to take legit actions instead of talking about it and thinking about it, just actually doing, right? And then I set some boundaries. So I talked about this in previous episode too. I did set some boundaries. So my first go around with 100 days, I said, okay, sis, we're not going out during the week. If we go out, it's only on the weekends. During the week, you're going to set intention to either go to the gym, read, and, you know, do your homework, because I'm in grad school currently for my master's in IT and project management. And so did really well for that semester, my first semester. So yay me. I buckled down, and this is the first time that I feel like I buckled down for real for school since my undergrad days. I'm digressing for a moment, so bear with me. I did start an MBA program right after I graduated undergrad, and it just wasn't led by God. It wasn't led by clarity. It was just me trying to stay in school so I didn't have to worry about certain things, aka student loans. And I wanted to, you know, I love school. I like school, so I figured why not? But there was no real structure or reasoning for why I was even going to get an MBA. And so that's why that failed. There was no intentionality behind it. It was just really running away from stuff. So I paused, figured my life out. And now I am in an intentional program with the intentions of securing a certain role, building a certain career trajectory so that I can secure foundational wealth and then build upon that with maybe other businesses or, you know, concepts that or streams of revenue that may come my way. So I digress for a moment. Let's go back. So discipline. I only went out on the weekends and I stuck to that. And that created just a level of accountability for myself to kind of guide me or gauge me. I was able to gauge like how I was doing, and that kept me aware of what I was doing. It kept me in the fight of the 100 days, keeping aware that like this is a process and this is what you committed to yourself to do. So setting those certain boundaries really, really helped me. And then I also set a boundary, if you may recall, may or may not recall, that I wasn't going to date. During the 100 Days of Focus, I really wanted to get clear on who I was and kind of get to know myself all over again, or maybe not even all over again, just for the first time ever. I feel like I'm meeting myself for the first time for real, if that makes sense. I feel like I know who I am. I've gotten clarity on who I am. And even though it's a journey and I'm still learning things about me, you know, you never arrive, right? I just feel like those disciplines of not dating and entertaining someone else during that first stint of 100 days was really instrumental in me silencing things. Because when you're trying to entertain somebody else, you're worried about what they're thinking about you. You're worried about their feelings. You're worried about just not yourself. You're not worried about yourself. Just yourself during the process. So this was really more of a selfish time for me in a good way to hone down on who is Gabby, what is Gabby trying to do, what does she want her life to be, and what does God have for her, and what her purpose is. And also how another method that I used was speaking up. So when I felt certain things, instead of me saying, no, I probably won't say that, I'll just leave it alone, I spoke up more. Speaking up more helped me just kind of, that was an action that I was able to take because I had tuned in more so with my intuition and what God was telling me. And so I felt more courage to speak on things that weren't right and not accept certain things. Outside of that, so with the disciplines, I want to say that especially when it came to dating, I realized that my journey on self-worth was really cluttered with self-sabotaging thoughts and emotional crutches. Emotional crutches being sexual behavior and also, you know, other recreational uses such as alcohol, right? So I'm not going to say that I was out here bogus and in these streets, right? But I did know that anytime that I would face a certain level of rejection, maybe from someone who I was entertaining or, you know, when something wouldn't go right, I would immediately go to certain vices to comfort me and make me feel better. And some of those vices were rooted in like sexual behavior, and I would resort back to maybe I would go and bug somebody or link up with someone who I know just is not on the right path, right? But at the moment, they felt good to be around, so I would just hit them up and be like, hey, you want to kick it, or you know, something like that, and not realizing that it was an emotional crutch. So I didn't see the damage in it, but now looking in hindsight, as I've decluttered and detoxed from that behavior, I realized that it was an emotional crutch. Same with drinking. I'm not saying I was an alcoholic. I don't believe that I was. But, you know, when you don't want to feel things, you will use other substances to try to drown out the noise instead of tapping into what's going on in your head, writing it out, getting clear on what the thoughts are or what your thoughts should be about the situation, etc., and really digesting what it is. So that was growth for me. So setting up those disciplines of not dating and not really entertaining anyone really detoxed me from some of those emotional crutches that I was embracing this whole time and not really thinking about. And then staying open mentally was another thing that I did during the 100 days of focus. That was part of the how, like staying mentally open, just, you know, reciting affirmations and staying open to all the good, just staying in good energy and good vibes, even when I wasn't feeling great, trying to find a way to recite affirmations or turn on some music or go to the gym and work on myself or be around people, because I used to go off in the corner and be alone, and that didn't make anything better. If I was going to be alone, I needed to be doing something productive to channel my mind into where it should be. And then, of course, that led to mental exercises that I did as well. I talked about Manifest Now by Idil Ahmed, I-D-I-L Ahmed, A-H-M-E-D. She is known by the Instagram name Idilionaire. So her name, I-D-I-L, and then the rest is Illionaire, like millionaire, on Instagram. And mental exercises that I had in that book, Manifest Now, I have the audio version. I would do those and listen to those in the morning on the way to work or just whenever I needed a boost to get my mind together. Worked on meditating and just getting quiet, having music and just laying still and channeling my mind. And also, the last part of how I did what I did, how I achieved what I did for my 100 days of focus, I had accountability partners. So I'm blessed to have a few select friends that understand this wavelength of thought process and behaviors, and I'm able to check in with them. And if I'm ever going through a situation where I feel like I'm triggered or my thought process is not all the way correct, then I talk it through with them and they get me all the way right together. Because sometimes you do need to talk to someone else. You can't just be going through this whole thing inside yourself mentally. So being able to talk to them and really hold myself accountable and have them hold me accountable and be transparent with my journey, you know, it has led me to a better place all around. So let's go back through the hows. Number one, I committed mentally and spiritually. Number two, I prayed more, became more conscious, right? Number three, journaling was a key part of this process. Number four, I created disciplines and boundaries for my life based on what I feel like I needed. Number five, speaking up. And that was just, you know, tapping into my intuition to know when I needed to say something versus shrinking back. Number six, staying open mentally to all the good. And that, let me just caveat that number six really quickly. Staying open mentally to the good means rejecting the negative. So I had to consciously and actively continue to debunk and reject negative thoughts and stay open to the positive. So whenever a negative thought would come into my head, I would have to flip it around to a positive and recite that. Number seven, was the mental exercises and Manifest Now, which kind of connects to number six about staying open mentally to the good. And then number eight, accountability partners and friends. Honestly, you know, my circle of friends that I have now, I really cherish them because they are the people who really are meant to go with me to the next level. I've shed some people who are not meant to do that, and I had to realize that that's okay. I followed accounts of people who would incite comparison and who would make me feel inadequate, etc. And so just really found my happiness, y'all. So this was the mindset part of this series. I hope that you took away some actionable items. I'm trying to be more streamlined in my episodes so that you can follow along more and give you this information straightforward. I hope that this first part helped you out. We're going to talk in part two about, well, I'm going to leave it. Stay tuned for part two because I have it mapped out already, but I want you to really digest this mindset part. This is mandatory in order for you to transform your life. And I truly have transformed my life and my who I am. I know recently, I'll talk about this soon in part of the 100 Days of Focus, but my body has changed dramatically. And I shared a before and after picture with a friend, one of my accountability partners, and she was just like, wow, you know, in the before picture and the after picture, you can just tell in your after picture, you look so much happier. And that almost brought tears to my eyes, because sometimes you don't realize in the moment you're thinking you're okay, you know, and you look back after you've done work on yourself and you realize, wow, you really weren't in the greatest place. And now you can't even imagine how to get out of this place that you're in now, because you've ascertained, you've ascended to the next level. And so as I share this journey with you all and my results, I hope that this incites you to do something for yourself, whether it's 100 days of focus, whether it's 100 days of clarity, whether it's 100 days of sobriety, whether it's whatever it is. I just want to incite change, and I want to impact you to dig deep and to know that you can improve who you are. You can improve your situations. You can improve so many things about your life just by taking your mind, taking the reins of your mind, and really intentionally guiding them into the life that you envision for yourself. So I hope that this helped someone today, gave you a little more clarity on what the 100 days of focus was for me, and I will be back with part two. So stay tuned, and I want you to enjoy your week, and I will talk to y'all soon. Holla.